Good morning, everybody. Just give us a second to set everything up, please. Thank you. God is good, amen?
Amen.
And God is really good because we have somebody that would like to share a testimony with us this morning. I know that you are nervous, but I'm sure you're going to do fine. Robert, if you and your beautiful wife can come forward, we would love to hear what God has done in your life. Come stand this side of me. I'm going to give you the microphone first, and then, sorry, I forget your name.
Sandra
came and spoke to me just before we started with the worship. And what she shared with me actually blessed my heart, and I asked her if she would mind if we can maybe share that with everybody. You know that I am very big on testimonies because testimonies gives us hope. Testimony shows us that our situation is not hopeless. Testimony shows us that God is still working in people's lives and that anything can change at any time. It's not about us, it's about God. Yes, we have to play our part, but sometimes when we least expect it, the power of God is going to break through and everything is going to change. Robert, your wife came and shared with me that the two of you are immigrating. She asked me to pray for them as they are going into the unknown and for God to just be with them because where they're going, there's not a lot of spiritual support. And then she just said to me, but she just wants to say thank you because since her husband came to this ministry, he's turned into a brand new person. And she wanted to give God all the glory for what God has done in Robert's life. Now, Robert, it sounds to me like you've had quite an experience, and I was wondering if you would mind sharing a bit of that with us.
Not at all. Morning, everybody. Yeah, you know, I don't want to go into detail. It's going to take too long. You need a couple of Sundays for that. Yeah, I come from a very bad past, all right? I've been through it all, done it all, seen it all. I got to a stage in my life where there was no hope, absolutely no hope. I just saw darkness, and, you know, last year, like I said, I think I mentioned it last week, but I just didn't know what to say. I was lost for words. Anyway, last year, December, Henny and Jenny have been persevering for many, many years. They know exactly where I've been, what I've been through. And, you know, my wife was in Portugal, her parents were very ill, and so on and so on. I decided it's time. You know, I came to the ministry, Pastor Ian prayed for, in fact, I got up. And the whole idea was to come and pray for and get prayer for myself, you know. Anyway, I thought of my in-laws and my wife. We prayed for them. And lo and behold, I've mentioned it before, got home, plugged the phone in, which was dead, and I got a phone call from Portugal. Father was walking around. Mother was fine. Sandra was fine. All glory to God. They were healed just like that. But in any case, coming back to myself, yeah, I was leading a bad, bad life. I had no hope. I must say that the inspiration that I've got from many people here, just about everybody, and every single week I hear things, I see things, and yeah, God is merciful. I've realized one thing in my life. I've repented. I repent every single minute of every day. I am going through literally hell at work. I pray to God every single minute of every day, and He gets me through. Yeah, I was a big skeptic, but I can testify to the fact that God is all merciful. And no matter what the problem is, no matter what your problems are, all you got to do is go down on your knees and God will provide. God forgives. And yeah, I've had many, 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 many stumbling blocks these past few weeks. Many things happening in my life and Satan attacking me and doubts and doubts and doubts. And all I do, I go down and ask God for advice and guidance. And I tell you, it's within... you know, my wife's saying is, God's never early, God's never late, God's always on time. On His time. And, you know, I believe in that now. And especially in my life, my prayers have been answered. This past weekend, I will not go into detail once again, but certain things happened. And I go down and I pray and I tell you something. The one was, something came out of me. I was laying on the bed and I had a problem in my mind and I prayed about it. And it was as if this curse inside of me, whatever it was, a demon or chocha, like Rian says, it just came out in a big cough and a burst of tears. And within 10 minutes, there was a WhatsApp from Portugal. So the thing I was worried about is over. It's as far as the job is concerned for Sandra, I might as well mention it, that I was worried, you know, what's going to happen once we get there, and so on and so on. And God answered my prayers. And I just want to say that if I can be saved, anybody can. Just keep the faith. God is a merciful God. And all glory to God. And finally, thank you so much to Rian for the inspiration, because he inspires everybody. I believe that without Warriors for Christ, I would not be here. I would probably be in hell right now. So thank you, God. All glory to God. Thank you, guys.
You want to say something, Sandra?
To all the people that's going through problems in their relationships, could be years. It's taken us years. But, and you just keep on praying for whatever. It's your partner, you're going through, it's your child, it's something. I promise you, God does. Eventually, you get this brand new husband that you don't know what to do with him because, no, really, you don't understand the change in him. When he said that, I mean, he's not exaggerating. It's a 360 degrees change in my husband. And there's nobody that's got problems here that God can't solve. Just pray and believe he will help you.
Amen. Amen. Before the two of you sit down, we do give God all the glory for what God has done in your life. And I'm very blessed to hear that God gave you a new husband. I see your son sitting there. How's it, my boy? Don't worry, I'm not going to call you forward. I can see he's got his running shoes on. He's heading for the door already. No, it's all right. But, you know, your wife said something to me. The reason your son is in church today is because he said that he has seen such a big change in his father and he wants to be like his father.
Amen.
Amen.
Well done, my boy.
Amen to that.
And God will help you. And that's how you know that God has touched him. Now, there's something that your wife mentioned, and I also spoke to you very quickly there. I spoke to somebody else this morning about guilt, shame, condemnation, and unworthiness. You said you're not going to go into any details. I don't expect you to go into details, but I know that you've battled a lot because the devil keeps bringing up your past, the things that you've done, and that's one of the struggles that you've been battling with a lot. Yeah. Today, I want to talk about that because I believe God wants to talk to you, and I know there's quite a few people, yeah, you battle. Let me just see the hands of everybody that has a past. Let me see the hands of everybody that's messed up somewhere. Okay, look around you. Keep your hands up. Look around you. I don't want to be funny, but you're in good company because you're not the only one, eh? So I want to talk to you today, and I want to talk to everybody else out there, because one of the things that the devil loves to use is he loves to use the things we've done, the past, the mistakes that we've made. You know what? If he can hit you with it every single day, he will hit you with it every single day. And sometimes that's the easiest way to get a good person down. Let's see what God wants to say about that. Please stretch out your hands towards them. Sandra is leaving when?
Tuesday.
She's leaving on Tuesday. And by the grace of God, we will see you again. But probably we're not going to see you again soon. And we want to release you with God's blessing. Father, I want to thank you for this family. What an awesome testimony they shared today. Lord, Sandra got a brand new husband. I'm sure he's a work in progress, but the changes are so big that you can just see the smile that she has when she talks about him. And probably because of the changes that went on in him, he's also got a brand new wife. I'm sure you touched both their lives, and we give you all the glory and all the praise for that, Lord. As they're getting ready to make a big, big, big change in their life, I ask you to look after them and to protect them. May the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon them here never release them. May they always feel the warmth of Jesus' love and the grace of God upon their lives. Protect them and keep them safe. Grant them safe passage. And Lord, I thank you that you are and always will be their source, their provider, and the one who blesses them with all good things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to start with a testimony from many, many, many years ago in my life. I'm talking about 17, 18 years ago. My son was very, very young, Matthew. He was still in nappies. And I actually vividly remember that because it was one of the first times that I went to minister at a church. I did not do the preaching. I actually was asked to go and pray there. And I remember Matthew was running around with his nappies. And I remember it was one of those particular nappies where I don't know what he did, a number one or a number two, but it was hanging all the way down here. And yeah, Matthew, there we go. And I want to say nothing has changed because when he goes to the toilet, you mustn't even think of him. Let me not even go there. Let me not even go there. Anyway. So anyway. There was a lady that through that came to see me. This is her story. I'm going to share two stories with you. And if I say stories, it's testimonies that I would like to share with you. The first one, this pastor of the specific church asked me if I would go with him to pray for a woman. He told me she's not in my congregation. I don't know this woman from anywhere. Her husband contacted me and asked me if I could help her. I said, okay, I'll go with you. He said he's 100%, he had tried to speak to the woman, but she was as mad as a hatter. She was completely off her rocker. And she also was destined to be committed to an asylum. He said he went there and he tried to talk to this woman. He said he got nowhere. He says by the time he left there, he was so confused, he didn't know if he was coming or going. Because whatever was with this woman would just confuse him all the time. I went there with this man. And when we knocked on the door, the husband opened the door, said, she's in that room, and he ran away. And that kind of like told me that we're in for some fun and games tonight. And I'll never forget, I remember walking into this room, and I didn't see the woman. The room was empty, but there was another door that obviously led to the bathroom. So I'm standing in the room. I don't want to go into the bathroom because I don't know if the lady is decent or not. So I'm just standing there and I call out, hello, hello. And I see this woman, and I'm not exaggerating. What I'm going to show you now is exactly what I saw. I started hearing this shuffle. It was like, you know, schlof, schlof. And I kept hearing this and I thought, what on earth is that? Still, I didn't go to see. Eventually, I see this woman. She looks something like this. And she's walking like this. And I'm not exaggerating. It took her probably 15 minutes to actually come into view. In the meantime, I could see she was dressed. She was decent. I approached her. I introduced myself. She looked at me with this blank stare. There was nothing happening. I asked her a question. She gave me the most random answer that I had ever heard in my life. It had nothing to do with what I asked. And it was like she was expecting me to answer on that. And then when I didn't answer on that, she got like all upset and she started fighting and performing. I managed to get her to sit down. Now again, I try and speak to her. I was just getting nowhere because between what I was trying to speak to her about and what she was rambling on about, there was no interaction. We were not communicating. Then I decided this must be a demon. So I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over this demon. I arrest you. I rebuke you. I bind you in Jesus' name. While I'm busy talking to this woman, she goes like this. I say to her, what are you doing? She says, can't you see it? I said, no, I don't see nothing. She says, how can you not see it? I said, what is it that I should be seeing? She says, my nose. I said, what's wrong with your nose? She says, there it goes. I say, what is it doing? She says, it went outside. It stuck on the tree. Now she's standing there like that. I said, but no, your nose is there. She says, no, my nose is stuck. I can't move. Okay, so I pray. I rebuke that. She sort of comes to. Eventually, by rebuking the spirit, constantly, slowly but surely, the woman began to emerge. When she was a bit more coherent, I introduced myself to her and I said to her, my name is Rian and I was asked by this pastor friend of mine to come and pray for you. Do you mind if I pray for you? She said, you can pray all you want. It's going to make no difference. Now, that's a very bold statement to make. I said to her, what do you mean by that? She says, I'm going to hell. There's nothing you or anybody else can do about it. I am going to hell. I said to her, ma'am, but why are you going to hell? I don't know. I know that I'm going to hell. So we had a conversation regarding this. No matter how I tried to show her what the Bible says, she would not accept anything that I said. She kept telling me there's no hope for her. Okay. With a little bit of questioning, something came out. I told her that I believe that there is a demon afflicting her, and she needs to be delivered from this demon. She could not feel the love of God. She did not experience God at all. She felt condemned at all times, and she was convinced that at any time she's going to die, she's going to go to hell, and demons are going to torment her for the rest of her life. I said to her, the Bible says, give the devil no place. If you have this type of demon, something happened to give it place. Can we talk a bit about your life? Okay, she agreed. It turns out, when she was very young, she had an abortion. She did not tell anybody about it, and as far as I know, it was not with the husband that she was with at the time. Oh, I could even be wrong. You know, it's been a long, long time. But the fact is, she had this abortion that she never spoke to anybody about. She sort of buried it. You know, you're young, you're busy, you do something, you get on with it. But what we don't realize is the devil also knows, and he doesn't forget. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm talking here about the devil. I'm not talking about God. The spirit of condemnation knew exactly what happened. When she was younger and she was very busy, she was raising children, she had a career, there was not that much time to sit and ponder these things. But as she got older and her life became slower, more and more what happened and what she did kept coming into her mind and kept attacking her. It came to the point that she began to go mad. And that's literally what started happening with this woman. She started losing her mind. I spoke to her about this. I said to her, you know what, ma'am? Here's something that you have to understand. The purpose of Jesus giving his life on the cross was to forgive us and to redeem us from the rubbish we have done. Jesus did not die to save saints. He died to save sinners, of which all of us are part. But we have to understand that when Jesus did this on the cross, he did the complete work. He didn't do half a job. But the devil would love to convince you that what Jesus did was good enough for some, but what you did is so specifically or particularly bad that there is no redemption from what you have done. And you have to pay and pay and pay. And what was happening in this woman's life is she was being chastised every day of her life by the spirit of guilt and shame and condemnation. And there was one other one, which I was about to find out. I spoke to her about this. And I said to her, you know what? Jesus knew that you were going to mess up. Just like he knew that I was going to mess up. But he chose to took the punishment upon himself to give you the opportunity to actually live your life. To redeem you. And I'm going to give you the scriptures for all of that now. Let me just first share this. I asked her this question. I said to her, apparently, whoever had made her pregnant, to some extent also forced her to have the abortion. I said to her, have you forgiven that person? She said, yes, I have. Then I asked her this question. I said, have you forgiven yourself? And immediately she said these words to me, and I will never forget. She said, I will never forgive myself for what I have done. Now, the Bible says, if you do not forgive yourself, your, if you do not forgive others, their trespasses, my Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses, and the tormentors will come for you. Now, what is a tormentor? A tormentor is a demon, but it's not any demon. It's a specific type of demon that will do whatever is necessary to torment you day and night. In a sense, make you mad, make you crazy, torment you with feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation, torment you with fear, torment you when everything just is wrong in your life. There's a word I'm looking for. Say again. It could be catastrophe, it could be calamity, it could be problems, it could be anything, but it's torment because nothing wants to work out. I said to a man, I want you to understand something. God knows exactly what happened. It's not like God doesn't know what happened. He knows what happened and he wants to help you, but you don't want to receive his help because you will not accept his word. It took a bit of coaxing, but eventually I got her to begin to understand that right now, the only reason why the devil has power over her life is because she's giving him that power. God has done what's necessary for her to be set free, but she will not accept God's plan. She will not accept God's way. And until she doesn't, nothing is going to change. Two things happened. Number one, she prayed a prayer with me, a very simple prayer. Let's just call it a salvation prayer, where she confessed to God what she had done. And she asked him to forgive her. And she accepted the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ to come into her life. Something began to happen in this woman. When she spoke, she also spoke like this. I'm not exaggerating. It was the weirdest conversation I had ever had. You keep wanting to help her with the word, but now you can't. You have to let her speak. She was in so much bondage, it was not even funny. The next thing that I did, I said to her, we need to talk about what happened, that you can't forgive yourself. It took quite a while, but she came to the point where she said, okay, fine. I will forgive myself. Once again, I led her in a prayer, a very simple prayer, to also allow the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse her as she chose to forgive herself and to renounce the tormenting spirits that were tormenting her. The change was almost instantaneous. The moment she forgave herself, something happened. Her whole body began to shake. I can't tell you for how long she shook, and she started screaming like a hysterical scream. Let's say it took a minute. Let's say it took 2 minutes. I don't know. It felt like a long period of time. But can I tell you what happened? The moment it was finished, she started speaking normally. She spoke at a normal speed. And you know the next thing? Immediately, it was like whatever was holding her in bondage fell off of her and she started walking normally. Do you know that she called her husband? At that stage, she had not eaten for a week. Whatever was going on in her brain that was making her mad also put her off food completely. She called her husband. She said to her husband, she's hungry. Please, he must bring her something. He said to her, there's not much, but there's yogurt. She took a whole liter tub of yogurt and she ate it while I was sitting there. The husband looked at that. He said, man, I can't believe this, because if we gave her anything, she vomited and this, she couldn't eat nothing. He said, what have you done? I said, no, I didn't do nothing, but I believe God healed your wife. At that stage, she was still working at a school. She was in her 60s. She was a secretary at a school. She'd been off sick leave because of her mental state. The following day, she went back to work. She finished off her time there. She ended her life in peace. She had to renounce the guilt that had been building over many years and where the enemy kept pounding her about her past. The second testimony that I want to share with you is again another lady. She came to see me. She went to a crusade. She'd never been to a crusade before in her life. She wasn't really a very strong believer. She wasn't much of a churchgoer, but she had an enormous amount of health problems. She had a list, almost an A4 page long, of infirmity and sickness and epikorners, like we say in Afrikaans, and problems and drama going on in her life. And a friend of hers, who had started attending a fairly charismatic movement in the West Rand, kept inviting her to come, and she always said no. And this particular day, she'd been so sick and she'd been so bound by the problems that she decided, you know what have I got to lose? She went to this church. I don't know who was preaching there. I have no idea, but apparently they had an altar call and she went forward for prayer. When the evangelist stood in front of her and began to speak to her, she suddenly went completely bonkers. She started screaming and shouting, and she took her dress and she lifted her dress and she flashed him, and then she fell down on the floor and she started rolling. Apparently these people did not know how to deal with spiritual problems, because they carried her out of the church, put her outside, and told her friend, please take her home, which is a bit shocking, but unfortunately the truth. After that day, she refused to go to another church. She said she will not suffer the indignity, because nobody at the church could tell her why this happened or what had happened. Apparently, she phoned the pastor the next day to ask him, and all he did was laugh at her. And I have to take her word for it, but I can understand how that must have made this woman feel. She wanted nothing to do with the church. One of her daughters came to see me. If I remember correctly, I think the daughter was barren. I prayed for the daughter. The daughter conceived almost immediately. And when this happened, it was enough to cause the lady to, on the invitation of her daughter, come and talk to me. And I think it was easier for her to talk to me because she didn't have to go to a church. She came to my house. She sat in my lounge. We spoke. And she told me what happened to her in this other church. And she said to me, do you know why that happened? I said to her, well, I can't say the exact reason, but I can tell you that it's a demon that manifested in you. And she was shocked. She said, what do you mean a demon? I said, no, you know, people can have demons. And I have a feeling that you got some demon in you that has the power to do that. And it was like the moment this person wanted you to pray a prayer of salvation, this demon manifested, because Satan doesn't want you to be saved. The devil wants you to live with whatever problems you've got. Okay, we spoke a bit, and I explained to her that what happened at that church is not the way God operates. That was the way that church operated. Don't confuse the two. God doesn't push people away. God draws people in. People push people away. The hurt that we experience in the church does not come from God. It comes from people. Unfortunately, when you live down here, even when the power of God moves, it moves through people, and people are fallible, and sometimes people are going to hurt you. It's just the way life is. But don't confuse God with people who hurt you. And don't blame God if some church treated you bad, because God didn't make them treat you that way. They chose to treat you that way. God is still God. He's still the solution. He's still the answer. Now, we spoke a little bit. I asked her a couple of questions, and she didn't open up much. I said to her, okay, let's pray. Guess what happened the moment I prayed for her? Exactly the same thing that happened in the church. She started screaming, going mad, her head going funny, eyes rolling, and she flashed me. By the grace of God, she was wearing underwear that day. She started rolling around on the floor. By the grace of God, the second time I wasn't praying alone. I actually had some people with me. Anyway, I kept rebuking this demon, but it was like it wouldn't leave. After about half an hour of this, I said, no, wait, let's take a break. I went and I made a cup of coffee. Now I'm standing there. I'm talking to God. I say, Lord, help me, please. I don't understand. Something is wrong. The spirit won't leave this woman. And I'm praying, and then I hear these two words. Unpardonable sin. I thought, oh. I went down. By that time, the woman was sitting on the chair again, feeling, looking like all sheepish, like she realized what had happened, and she was feeling a bit like shy. I said to her, don't worry, we're going to help you. God will help you. I said to her, ma'am, I want to ask you a question. I prayed, and God gave me just these two words, and I'm going to tell you what these two words are, and I want you to tell me what they mean to you. She said, what are the words? I said, unpardonable sin. She looked at me, her eyes went massive. She said, how do you know? I said, I don't know. That's what God put in my heart. She started crying. I said to her, ma'am, you know, it's not like I want to pry or anything, but I can see that I struck a nerve. Maybe you should talk to me about what happened. She had an affair when she was young. Nothing much happened, but something did happen. She broke it off. She continued in her marriage. Again, when she was younger, it didn't bother her. As she got older, slowly but surely this thing began to sit on her. To the point that it started driving her mad. What was she experiencing? Guilt. Where does guilt come from? Let's be honest. Guilt does not come from God. If Jesus did what he did to redeem you from your sin, then he doesn't have to make you feel guilty. Because he wants you to be redeemed. But the devil doesn't want you to forget your past. He doesn't want you to forget what you've done. You said to me that you had a horrible life and that you've done a lot of things. I want to say something to you. I don't doubt that. But you know, the Apostle Paul is the one that we should listen to when it comes to this, because he single-handedly tried to eradicate the church of Jesus Christ by murdering believers. If there was somebody that had a horrible past that God could just sort him out and throw him in the pit of hell, it was him. You know, there's people, yeah, you've stolen something, you've had an affair, you've gossiped about somebody, you've hurt somebody very badly. Has any of you ever tried to eradicate the church of God? Raise your hands if you've done that. Well, Paul did. It was his mission in life to go from city to city to find believers and torture them. They either turn against Jesus or die. How many died? I don't know. The Bible actually doesn't tell us. But the fact of the matter is, if anybody ever gave the devil place for guilt and shame and condemnation, it is the Apostle Paul. Yet when you look at his life, he actually had a blessed life. How come? Because he understood the grace of God that is sufficient for the sinner to forgive us our past, redeem us, cleanse us, and give us a future. I spoke to this lady and I said to her, you know, ma'am, I can't change what you've done, but I want you to understand that God will not label you based on your past. God has a future for you. And until you don't conquer the guilt that is sitting on you, you will have no life. But I want to give you some good news. There is hope. John 3 verse 18 says, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. Do you hear what the Bible says? I want you to be honest with me. How many of you sitting here, now and then when you think about your past and things that you've done, this feeling of condemnation and heaviness just comes over you. Come, just wave at me. Don't take my word, because I can talk a lot of nonsense. But if I give you the word of God, you better listen, because God is talking to you. Whoever believes in Christ is not condemned. You see, the devil hopes you don't understand this, because then he can give you a hiding for your past every day of your life, and he will make your life a living hell. This woman lived a life, a living hell. She had to come to a place that she understood how the devil was working with her. Slowly but surely, as I counseled her about these things, the light went on. And she began to understand. I said to her, would you like to pray and ask God to deliver you from this guilt. She said, please, I can't live with it anymore. But before I got there, let me just tell you something interesting that happened. I said to her, I want to pray with you. She said, okay, it's fine. Pray for me. I said, I want you to pray with me. What are we going to pray? I said, we're going to confess what happened. She said, no, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? She said, you know, there are some things you can't even talk to God about. I said, what? I said, ma'am, the devil has really lied to you in a big way. I said to her, can I tell you a little secret? She said, what? I said, God was in the room while you did it. She was like, oh, you can't say that. I said, ma'am, the Bible says God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. I said, the devil has convinced you that you're going to shock God and taint your image with God if you talk to God about it. But the only one that can deliver you and help you is God. That's how the devil has lied to you. She said, oh, I never thought of it that way. I said, so are you okay with talking about it to God? She said, okay, I suppose I have to. She prayed with me. As she prayed with me and she began to confess to God what she did, the same demon began to manifest. But you know what happened this time? The same demon that had all the power to control her and throw her around and make her act like a lunatic, now when I rebuked him, started backing off. Before, he would not back off because he had place and power. Because two things didn't happen. Number one, she never spoke to God about it. Number two, and that's where the big challenge came, she wouldn't forgive herself. She had to forgive herself. Once again, like the first lady, when I spoke to her about forgiving herself, she didn't want to. She also said to me, I will never forgive myself. And I said to her, ma'am, let me tell you what is going to happen if you will not forgive yourself. The tormentors will come, and that's why you are mad. That's why you are on depression and this and that and what, and bipolar and schizophrenia and you name it. She had all of them. But can I tell you where it was coming from? The tormenting spirits that were tormenting her because she could not forgive. Two things killed that woman. Okay, worse, killing her, she didn't die by the grace of God. Guilt, okay, let's call it guilt, shame, condemnation, and unforgiveness. And all of those things are things that Jesus paid for on the cross. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, I tell you, no, let's first look at John 3:18. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. Look at your neighbor and say, through Christ, you are no longer condemned. I don't care what the devil brings up. He can bring up what you did when you were 10 years old. He can bring up what you did when you were 15, when you were 20. He can even talk to you about what happened yesterday. I don't care. If you believe in Jesus and you believe in the blood, it's as simple as bringing it before God and it's gone. God doesn't go back there, but the devil goes back there all the time. And the devil has this way of talking to us that sounds like God. Ah, you can't pray to me tonight because you've done this and that. Ah, you're such a bad person. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. We bring condemnation upon ourselves when we accept the devil's condemnation. Because the Bible says, in Christ, you are not condemned. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Did you hear that? I have a special message for you. All those things that you've done, because you came to the point that you accepted Jesus Christ, you also accepted his sacrifice. I want to ask a question. Why is it that for some people the sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient and for others it's not? Is the problem with the sacrifice or is the problem with the person? Let me get you to understand something. There was nothing wrong with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He did it perfectly. That's why he said these words, it is finished. Some accept it, others don't. Some make peace with the fact that they have a past and others can't. But you're wrong. Because God is not interested in your past when it's under the blood. What's under the blood is under the blood. Bring it before God. Talk to God about it. Put it behind you. You know the Apostle Paul, do you know why he says these words? But one thing I do. I forget what is behind me and I live for what is in front of me. Because if he had to go back to his past, he would go mad himself. He had the blood of many innocent believers on his hands. He could not afford to get the devil to keep him looking in his past. Because guilt and shame and condemnation come based on where you look. If you look to the future, you've got nothing to feel guilty of. Because you haven't stuffed up in the future. How's that? There's a time in your life you haven't stuffed up yet. So looking at the future will not make you feel condemned, but looking at the past will bring you down. Looking at the past will crush you. And I don't care how spiritual you are. Even the Apostle Paul could not afford to keep looking back. He said, I broke with what happened. I don't go there. It's under the blood. It's for God to deal with. You know, the Apostle Paul says, nobody judges me, not even God. Not even I judge myself. God will be my judge one day. Where are we going to learn? We're going to learn from the Word. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but we're going to learn from the Master. Paul had so many things that could destroy his life if he allowed the devil to. But he didn't. He said, why must I go back there if it's dealt with? I don't go there. I go forward. It's time for me to have the life that God wants for me. And can I tell you something about the Apostle Paul? You know, I take my hat off. I put it down. Because that man could have gone mad, could have been eaten up by all sorts of things based on his past, but he chose to deal with it, and he chose to accept the new things that God had. And I want to tell you something. God knew that he was, in a sense, indirectly a mass murderer. God knew that he tried to destroy the church. Did God change his mind and say, you will not preach my word? Did God change his mind and say, you will not be a minister of the gospel? Did God say, you stand condemned and therefore you are nothing to me? No. All the blessings of God were still available to Paul, even though he had done what he had done. But Paul also had to do his part. He had to get past the past and move into the future. I want to say something to you. I know you've all messed up. You're human. It happens. The devil wants you to die because of what you've done. And I don't necessarily mean physically. I mean spiritually and emotionally. He wants it to be like a cancer that's going to eat at you, eat at you. Have you ever felt guilty? It sits at the pit of your stomach and it eats at you, eats at you, eats at you. And it destroys you. But Jesus says, forgiven. Now, who are you going to listen to? The voice that says condemned or the voice that says redeemed? Listen to this. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who wrote this? Paul. Why? Because he had to come to the point that he understood God does not condemn him for his past. It happened. It's gone. He still has a life to live and he's going to make the best of it. Why are you and I sitting here today? Because Paul preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul could have allowed guilt, shame and condemnation to take him out. And then maybe we would have been sitting in some Hindu temple somewhere. I don't know. But the fact is, God taught him many wonderful lessons. And I want to say something to you. If Paul could do it, you can do it. Because God is not a respecter of man. Paul was not a superman. He was a normal man. He just applied the word of God correctly. And I'm sure it was difficult for him to learn these things, but he learned them. He applied them and he lived a life of victory. Romans 8 verse 33. Listen carefully again. Our friend Paul talking, he says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? I want you to listen very carefully. Now Paul is even in a sense cocky. He says, who dares bring accusations against those redeemed by God? Satan dares, but he shouldn't, because he's got no foot to stand on. Who will bring charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. He says, if I have been justified by God. Can I tell you something? Probably in Paul's life, put yourself in his position. The Jews knew who he was. A lot of the Gentiles knew who he was. And he had a lot of enemies. Do you know how a lot of people tried to, in a sense, discredit him? Don't listen to this man. He killed so many people. Don't listen to this man. He tried to eradicate the church of God. Don't listen to this man. He caused untold pain and suffering. How did he answer them? How dare you bring any accusation against me? God has justified me. Be quiet. Sit down. Shut up. I have something to say. And he brought the word of God. And guess what? Regardless of his past, regardless of his mistake, people got saved all over the world because people saw the grace of God in him. 2 Corinthians 3:9. Guess who's speaking? Our friend Paul. This is what he says. If the ministry that condemns men was so glorious, how much more glorious will be the ministry that brings righteousness? This is what he's talking about. He says, when the law of Moses was given, it was given on the mountain, and there was flashes of lightning, and there was fire and brimstone, and the people could not even bear to look at Moses. He says, the old covenant, which was actually condemnation in itself, came in a glorious way. How much more will be the new ministry, the grace of God? How glorious is that? It brings righteousness. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Who's writing? Our old friend. Let us then approach the throne of God's grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How many times did Paul need the help of God? Do you think he sat there and thought to himself, man, I can't talk to God because I murdered this one and I murdered that one and I caused untold misery to these people and, you know, in that town, this and that. No. He says, I've got problems. The one I go to is God. And I go there with confidence because God doesn't look at me based on who I was. I am a new creature in Christ. My past is my past, but my future is bright. Romans 3 verse 22, who's speaking? Our old friend Paul. He says this, this righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you hear that? He says there's no difference between me or anybody else. He says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But then he says this, he says, and we are justified freely by God's grace. Did you hear that? Any? You messed up. You know better, you know worse than Paul. He says, one thing we have in common. We are all justified by the grace of God that is freely given through Jesus Christ. If it was up to you, you could do nothing to cleanse yourself. But it's not up to you. It was up to God. God has done something for you. He says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He says, you want to know how to deal with all the rubbish in your life? Bring it to the cross. Bring it under the blood. Bring it before God. It's finished. It's over. It's dealt with. Guilt cannot work if the power of the blood has done its work. But you have to allow it to work. You know, sometimes the devil comes. He's very clever in how he comes. Oh, what you did is so bad. What Paul did was probably worse. In your mind, what you did was bad. God did not hold it against Paul. Why would God hold it against you? But you see, when the devil speaks to us, the voice that speaks many times will sound like God. Listen to me carefully. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You can't do this or you can't do that for God because you've done this and that in your past. Listen to me very carefully. I have a past. I've messed up. But I can stand here today and with confidence I can preach the word of God to you because my past does not define who I am. The blood of Jesus defines who I am. And when God looks at me, God says these words concerning me, redeemed. And like the Apostle Paul, I can say to you, who dares bring an accusation against either me or you or anybody? Your past has nothing to do with nobody. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says, because it is under the blood. The devil likes to touch there. Don't let him touch there. Tell him to shut up. Tell him to footsack. Tell him to go to the pit of hell, because it's not his place. That belongs to God. You still have a future. I don't care what you've done. You can still have a wonderful future. You can still have a brilliant life. Paul had a brilliant life. Now, I know he had his fair share of problems. But I want to tell you something. Nobody did more for the kingdom of God than that man. Don't you tell me God withdrew his glory from him. The glory of God was even more on him than on anybody else. Because Paul would not let his past crush him. He stood up to it and he said, that's not who I am. I'm no longer that person. I'm somebody different. I'm a new creature in Christ. The last scripture I want to give you is this. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done. Do you hear that? God doesn't save you because of who you are, what family you were born into, what church you come from, whether you were baptized when you were small or big or anything like that. He says, when the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. And then he says this, he saved us by the washing of the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit which he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace. What makes you justified today? One simple fact. Jesus paid the price. The devil will say to some of you, you're a thief. No, I'm not. I've been justified by faith. You were a fornicator. No, I'm not. I've been justified by grace. You were a so-and-so. No, I'm not. I've been justified by the grace of God. And because I have been justified, I don't have to live under the burden of guilt and shame and condemnation and unworthiness and this thing that sits in my stomach and threatens to kill me. You've been battling for a long time with where you come from and what you've done. It's gone. It's behind you. And what God expects you to do is stop looking back and start looking forward, because ahead of you is a wonderful life. Ahead of you is opportunity. Ahead of you is the grace of God. The more you look back, the more you sink into the pit of despair. The more you look forward, the more you see the beautiful life that God has for you. When I started this, I asked how many of you have felt the burden of guilt and shame and condemnation. Every single one of you raised your hands. Today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to be to touch you. Listen to what he says. Titus 3 verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, talking about God giving his son Jesus, he says, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of God's mercy. And then he says, he saved us. How? By the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Maybe God is phoning and he's telling me, he either likes or doesn't like my sermon. I'm sure he likes it. I think it's a good sermon. I want you to listen to the scripture. It's okay. Just leave it. It's fine. Don't stress. It happens. My friend, some of you battle with this now and then. Some of you battle with this all the time. The devil puts this thing on you. You're not good enough. You're not going to go nowhere because of where you come from. Listen, yeah. God doesn't care where you came from. God cares where you're going. Even God can't change your past. So why you want to keep going into your past? God says, I have a future for you. If only you will drop the things of the past, you will see exactly what it is. There's this thing that sits inside of us and eats at us. I'll never forget. There was a time I was working. And I took the work bucky. I was a very naughty boy. I'm still naughty. Some things you battle to get rid of. And I had to go out and do a job. And I did my job, and now I had a bit of time to spare. They weren't expecting me back at the office. So yeah, I'm joyriding a bit with the bucky, vroom, 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 you know. Back in the day, Sarel van der Merwe was something. And for a while, I was Sarel van der Merwe in the works bucky. I could spin it into fourth gear, you know. And I'm like racing around a bit. And then I see, oh, they're working on buses here. And I see, check these two big tracks. I wonder if the bucky can go over there. I'm sure it can. I didn't say I was clever. I said I was naughty. You know, there's a big difference between the two. So I line up the bucky. Yeah, I start going. Now you must understand. Halfway through, I'm starting to get second thoughts here. Because it doesn't look like the bucky's going straight anymore. And it's very difficult for me to see because I can't see lacquer. Here's the thing. What I didn't realize is the two tracks that I'm trying to go over are pretty much the exact same width as the tires. There's no room for error here. And I'm driving a 19 Futsak Hilux that's got a ton of play on the steering. You know, you drive it like in the old movies. It's like you're going straight, but you're driving like this. And I'm going over there and I'm beginning to feel, oh man, something here is not so lekker. Now I start praying. I know I should have prayed before I went, but now I'm praying. I'm saying, oh God, I'm in the dwang. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm only halfway through and already it looks like things are going south big time. Please help me. Now I start crawling. I go slower and slower. And like an idiot, just as I get to the end, I think, oh, I've made it. I put foot. The back wheel spin and the bucky falls into this pit. Now I'm in the dwang. I'm in serious dwang. And I remember I had to go back. Now I have to go and tell the boss that I've just totaled the bucky. Let me just say that didn't go down very well, but you know that feeling at the pit of your stomach. Yeah. Yes, when it was all over, I actually felt better. I did get a big hiding and there was some consequences, but the fact of the matter is, it went away. You've got stuff in your life that probably the enemy has been using against you for years. I want to tell you something. You're not the devil's doormat. God never expected you to just let the devil walk all over you all the time. And don't believe for one second it's God that keeps giving you a hiding about your past. If his word says he doesn't, then why would he do it? But the devil would. Because the easiest way to steal from you is to keep holding your past against you, to keep chastising you about the things that has happened in your life, to tell you you're not good enough, to tell you God doesn't care, to tell you that you're wasting your time. When the word of God says that's not God. And we accept it as if it is. I just repeat this one scripture for you. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Every one of you sitting here that has chosen to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has experienced two things. Whether you believe it or not is up to you. The one is, you've crossed from death to life. The second thing is, you've been redeemed from your past life. Your past life is exactly that. It's your past. If God doesn't go there, don't you go there. And when the devil wants to go there, tell him to shut up and futsak and tell him to go. There's quite a few people here that probably need God to deliver them. I started with a testimony about two women, both of them going mad because of things weighing them down, guilt, shame, condemnation. unforgiveness played a role. Probably God wants to minister to us and set us free from things of the past. And maybe, just maybe, he was saying that he was praying and he felt something leave him. I agree with you, it was a chocho. Because in your own way you started standing up. And that's what God wants. When the devil wants to come with your past, stand up and fight. And God will give you victory. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is one of the ways that he steals from many, many believers. Don't talk to God because you've done this. Don't expect the blessing of God because you've been there, done that. You got the t-shirt for this and that and that. What you did is really, really horrible and bad. Paul, a man that single-handedly tried to destroy the church of Christ, says these words. Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of God's grace with confidence. If anybody had something to fear from God, it was this man. But he said, I don't fear God when I come to him. I go with confidence because the throne of God is grace. And then he says, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Did this message speak to anybody? Give the Lord a big hand.